The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. Blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messengers ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. I think one of the most beautiful texts of all the scriptures that we have for Advent are the one in the second reading. One is in the second reading today. "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You must be patient. Make your hearts firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand." So what we're looking for today is how we find that particular joy in waiting. It's Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. You rejoice in the midst of this time of waiting. One of the reasons I like that passage so much is it reminds me of when I was growing up on the farm. And one of the things that you did in the fall, it seemed completely counterintuitive, but before the frost, you would plant wheat. It was called winter wheat. And planting a crop, we didn't have that big of a farm. We had 80 acres, but planting a crop is a lot of work, and it costs a lot of money. And we weren't wealthy people by any means. So we would plant this, and it was in the fall. We would plant this wheat, and then you would just wait. You just had to wait. You had to trust that somehow that seed was going to be good seed and that it would sprout. And you would worry. Would there be enough rain, or would there be too much rain? We spent our savings, you know. And so we had these kitchen windows that looked out over the fields, and we would come to breakfast every morning, and we'd look out and see if anything was happening. And it seemed like forever before finally you would come out one morning and there would just be the slightest kind of green color over the surface of the fields, and you would know that the wheat had sprouted. A cool thing about wheat too is it stays green all winter, even if it's under the snow. It's one of those things that you might not even see it in the wintertime, but it's there. Well, winter is a difficult time for many people, and it has been in certain parts of my life when I thought that I had what they call seasonal affective disorder, right? When the days get shorter and darker, and I'm a person that really likes sunlight. That's why I always have to have like a sunroof in my car, because I have to have the light. But the days get darker and darker, and even sometimes now it seems like it's dark and it's still afternoon. We normally would say good afternoon, but now we say good evening at the beginning of Mass because it's dark outside. So I was thinking about this other thing, of this idea about light. I wonder if anybody's been to a place in Ireland called Nauf, Ireland. It's a It's a World Heritage Site called Brú na Bunia in Irish. It's on the Boyne River. It's north of Dublin. There's a set of Neolithic tombs there on the side of the river from about the year 3200 BC. So put that in context, that's 1200 years even before the event of Abraham, right? This is a long time ago. There's one large passage tomb there and 17 smaller ones. The large one is about the same square footage as a football field, and it's 40 feet tall. We don't give it too much thought, perhaps, but primitive people really truly worried about the days and about the declining, the length of the days, the sunlight. And they would worry that the days would just get darker and shorter until the sunlight didn't come back at all, and they were left in darkness. This is the reason why the winter solstice was such a celebration for pagan cultures, because it celebrated the return of daylight, the return of light to our world. Well, the cool thing about this large passage tomb in Brú na Bunia is that on the east side, on the perfect axis of the sunrise of the winter solstice, there is an entrance to a hallway that goes deep into the center of the mound. And at the center of the mound is a large stone bowl where the Stone Age farmers would place the ashes of those who died. And they believed at the moment of sunrise, the moment that that beam of light went into that passage and touched the stone bowl, just for a moment, they believed that the spirits of their ancestors would travel in that shaft of light to the next life, to the afterlife. I find this to be an amazing, beautiful witness of a pre-Christian understanding of the power of light and life as it comes into the world. You can see how the study of other religions can somehow help us appreciate our own even more, because we know the light as Christ. And it is with that same nervous anticipation mixed with joy that we celebrate this third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete, rejoice, you. In the midst of the waiting, even as the days continue to get shorter. The worship of the sun was indigenous to the Romans, and there were many temples to the sun in Rome at the time of Jesus. In the Julian calendar, December marked the winter solstice. December 25th marked the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. In the year 312, Constantine decreed that the pagan feast of the unconquerable sun, or Sol Invictus, because that was the day that the day started to get longer again. This would be the date to celebrate the birth of the Son of God. So you see the sun, S-U-N, and the sun, S-O-N. We play with that language a lot in liturgy. In that year also, Constantine proclaimed, with the exception of farmers, that Sunday was to be a day of rest. This is what he says, on the venerable day of the sun, S-U-N, let the magistrates and people residing in cities rest, and let all workshops be closed. The resurrection of Christ, which also occurred on a Sunday, the day after the Jewish Sabbath, was also declared to be a day of observance. In AD 386, Theodosius, who was the patriarch of Constantinople, decreed that Sunday would be a day of obligation. And he said it was a natural association to identify the birth of Jesus, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. St. Cyprian identifies Christ with the Son itself, the true Son, S-U-N, in his work on the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is the beam of light through whom we pass to the Father. He is the source of our joy and the fulfillment of all time. Finally, there's a nice scene in the Gospel today that I would like to consider. John the Baptist obviously knew who Jesus was, didn't he? I mean, they were cousins. Literally, he knew from the womb. But in the Gospel today, he sends his followers to Jesus in a gesture of what I believe to be his resignation. His work had been fulfilled. He sends his followers with this question, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? See, you see, it says John the Baptist was in prison, so I think he was aware probably that he would be leaving this earth soon. Jesus says to them in reply, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. In Jesus' own words, he is claiming the fulfillment of that prophecy of Isaiah that we heard in the first reading today. Now is the time for the promises to be fulfilled. As we watch God's plan unfolding, how can we not have joy? For that which had been impossible before is now possible.